Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 16th of Sha'ban, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 9th of March, 2023. Let's welcome our Honourable Mufti Saab, who is currently in Durban. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mu'ana Zaid Khan, Jazakallah khair. Three things. I am firstly in Pietermaritzburg, not in Durban. Two, your volume is very, very low. Just increase the volume so I can hear you properly. And third one, mashallah, here in Pietermaritzburg, since the time I arrived, then they're having big problems here. 2 hours they have electricity power, then 1 hour it goes away, then again 2 hours it comes and so forth. So I wonder the Minister of Electricity what they're doing about this, you know. So because it seems to be a big, big problem here in Pietermaritzburg.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab, our topic today is on Ramadan. Mufti Saab, what's the meaning of Ramadan?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we speak about the Islamic calendar, so our first point of reference will be Surah 9, Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 36. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi isna ashara shahra fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard minha arbatun hurum, which means the day Almighty Allah created the heavens, the earth and the entire universe. From that day onwards, it was decreed and already prescribed in the book of Almighty Allah, the number of months will be 12 lunar months. From these 12 lunar months, minha arbatun hurum, 4 are sacred months. The Quran Sharif is silent on that. Then you go to Bukhari Sharif, you will find the elaboration, explanation there. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqada, Zulhijjah, wa Muharram, and then the month of Rajab. Now when we go back to the noble Quran, Surah number 2, verse number 185, you will find that the only month, Islamic lunar month, that is mentioned in the noble Quran explicitly is the month of Ramadan. Surah 2, verse 185. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. So during this month of Ramadan, the Quran Sharif was revealed, meaning the commencement of the revelation started during this month of Ramadan, and then it continued for 23 years, and Almighty Allah speaks of this in Surah chapter 97, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Verily we revealed it, the noble Quran, in the night of majesty, the night of power, and that is laylatul qadr. So that is in Ramadan, obviously. So therefore we say Ramadan means tahriqu dhunub, to burn the sins, gunahoku jalana, to burn, to incinerate the sins. So we as Muslims, today is the 16th of Sha'ban. Inshallah, 2 weeks time, Thursday, we will be fasting, inshallah, al-Aziz. So we must not be waiting for Ramadan. A true Muslim from now already, he continues staying away and burning his sins. Ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. حديث authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, stay away from the haram, haram speech, haram actions, haram places, haram food, haram drinks, whatever is haram, abstain and refrain, then you will become the most pious and the greatest worshipper of all Mighty Allah Jalla Wala. So that is what we are lacking today. In Ramadan, we have great qualities, but the other 11 months, then we find we go back to the satanic qualities. So that is what Ramadan means. Allah give us tawfiq to practice on the meaning of Ramadan. Ism ku musamma banana hai. That we must take this name of Ramadan and apply it in our personal daily lives. So that will be a great thing for every Muslim to do.
Mufti Sahib, for the Huffaz, there's less than 2 weeks left. Is there still hope for those Huffaz who hasn't yet still prepared for Ramadan that they can start still now?
I have this book. It's right here next to me. I brought it with me. Maza fi Sha'ban by Sheikh Muhammad Alawi Al-Maliki. So in there he has wonderful, wonderful information regarding Sha'ban and so forth. He says that the Salaf Salih, our pious people and predecessors, they would call this month of Sha'ban Shahrul Qurra, the month of the Qaris, the month of the Imams, the month of the Hafizab, because now every person who's got some connection with the noble Quran, some relationship with the Quran Sharif, so they know they're going to perform 4 rakat, 8 rakat, 10, 12 rakat, 2 rakat, Taraweeh Salat, so they have their little bit fikr concern. So even now if he starts, mashallah, reach 2-3 Jews a day, so mashallah, then before Ramadan he'll be finished. And if he's not a pakka and a jayid and a good hafiz, then at least he'll know that which quarters and which portion he has to read. So from now he should try and brush up and so forth, you know. And for the masses and the public, last night my topic here in Raystop is one of the masjids here, mashallah. So various masajid and places here in Marisburg. So that was my topic, the Quran Kareem, the Quran Sharif, the noble, glorious Quran. And in the ending I said, see, I have an appeal to make. And I appeal to all of you, male, female, adult and children, you still got 2 weeks left. And then whole Ramadan, fasting is a duty. Tilawatul Quran, recitation of the Quran Sharif is the beauty of Ramadan. So every one of you, listen carefully to these advices. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lawadittu. Wadittu means mubalagha fit tamanni. I have that strong, ardent desire. أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي, that every one of you in this ummah, male, female, adult and child, you should memorize and by heart Surah Yasin. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad al-Bazzar. And second one, the same words are used. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي. And the hadith is mentioned in Musnad al-Hakim for Surah Mulk Tabarak al-Ladhi. Surah Yasin, chapter 36, 83 verses. If you make a concerted effort every day, you learn 3-4 verses. So before Ramadan starts also, you will know it, 3-5 verses like that. And if you don't, then inshallah, before Eid, you can become a hafiz of Surah Yasin. And Surah Mulk, if you learn 2-3 verses, even now, Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, Surah 67 and 30 ayat, 30 verses. So before Ramadan, you can know it. So that was the message I gave them right in the ending, that if we want to be raised with the Huffaz, with the Hafiz, you, for example, Mu'azahid Khan, Damat Barakatum, you're not Hafiz. So then you've learned Surah Yasin, you learn Surah Mulk. And I told you before, you should start learning Quran from day one, you know, by heart. And in that way there, that tomorrow something happens, then remember we are there and we will be تحت لواء الحفاظ, under the banner and under the group of the حفاظ and the حافظ, because at least we bahated Surah Yasin and Surah Mulk, and this brought great delight, joy and happiness and ecstasy to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what we should try and do, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, any other preparations that we should do from now till the coming of Ramadan?
Every person, according to their own personal taste and their personal setup, you should be drawing up already a timetable. You must know every day during Ramadan Mubarak, what time am I going to wake up? I'm just giving examples now. So for us there in Gauteng and Old Transvaal and all these things there, I'll just use examples on the hour. So let's say 5 o'clock is cut-off time. Just example I'm giving, right? So now the latest you should be waking up is 4 o'clock. If you wake up 3 o'clock, 3:30, that's excellent. So now, from that time, right till Fajr, and after Fajr till sunrise, what you going to do? There's 5 things every true Muslim has to do. So we read our Tahajjud Salat, whether it's 2 rakats, 4 rakats, 6, 8 rakats. So remember, Witr we already read after Taraweeh. So that is finished now. But the Tahajjud. Alhamdulillah. And remember that what Tahajjud, it don't mean we spend so much time and engrossed in Tahajjud and we forget our Qaza Salat. So more emphasis must be given to the Qaza Salat. Every person from the time we became baligh and mature till now, we must calculate how many Qaza Salat and how many Salat I must, and we have to now read it as Qaza. So we have to make that up. So every day we must start from today, not only in Ramadan. So that is also something that take 5, 10, 15 minutes for that. Then, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. That every one of us minimum take out 3, 4, 5 minutes for istighfar. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not punish a people and a nation as long as they make istighfar. When we make true istighfar, we beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Surah 71, Surah Nuh, verses 10, 11, 12, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send beneficial rain. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah will bless you with wealth and sons and children and so forth. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah will give you the gardens of paradise, and beneath those gardens the rivulets and the streams will be flowing. So it's a win-win situation. So number one, we got tahajjud. Number two, we got qaza. Number three, we got istighfar. Number four, we got dua. That is the time when duas are accepted. A dua, fi jawfil layl. So this is jawfil layl. So in the last third of the night, your duas will be accepted. And then the fourth one will be the suhoor. We all know about dates at iftar time. But the Master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, ni'ma suhoorul mu'min at-tamr. Remember, the best sahri and suhoor and pre-dawn meal is dates. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif Abu Dawood. And then when the adhan is given, because adhan is given early and during Ramadan and so forth, now he's telling you Fajr time has started, you read your sunnah, you read your farz, and the men in the masjid as far as possible, and the women at home on time, and thereafter, then, now from then till you must remember sunrise and ishraq, then our fasting is a duty. Tilawatul Quran is the beauty. So now we engage ourselves in Tilawatul Quran. So you see what we did, we broke it up. And this is general advices, that for every person like that, now you must know that what must I do during Ramadan from this time to this time. So I just gave you an example from what time to what time, from 3, 3:30, 4 o'clock, right up to 6 o'clock, half past 6, 6:30, whatever. So that thereafter, there's no breakfast. Now you finish yet, suhoor. So after you shirak, you can rest, or you go to your shop, to your job, or whatever. A thing we must remember is the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. اللهم بارك لنا في سحور اللهم بارك لنا في بكورها. That ya Allah give my ummah barakah in the early part of the morning. Therefore, it's not good for a person, whether it's Ramadan or out of Ramadan, that straight after Fajr we go and sleep. Remember that try and stay awake right till sunrise and 15 minutes after that, and then read 2 rakat salat. Every day you get reward of Umrah and Hajj. You know how difficult it is for people to perform Umrah Hajj. You must carry this in your news, that in Bangladesh, the people there were accredited 127,000 people. Listen carefully. How much? 127,000 people accredited for Hajj this year. 1444, 2023. How many so far have, like, you know, registered and so forth? 32,000. Why? It's far beyond their means. You must remember that. You take South Africa. A person this year cannot go for Hajj if he wants a 4, 5, 6 package, 4, 5, 6 weeks package, and he doesn't have 100,000 minimum, because the flights, all the taxes, the accommodation, the transport, and so many other added charges, your eating, drinking. So no person will give you, you must remember, Hajj for less than 100,000. Now who got 100,000? Husband 100,000, wife 100,000, then you're spending another 50,000 minimum. So what will happen? You must remember today the rial and the rand is 5 rand to 1 rial. So that is where you are sitting today. So now things are so expensive there, and now you will need minimum for a couple who has to go 250,000. Now, how many people have that means? So therefore, it becomes extremely difficult. And now you take countries like Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, all these countries, Sri Lanka, they all have a quota. But remember, if there's no government subsidy, so then it's big problems. So you must remember this. So one is Manista Ta'a Ilayhi Sabila. Hajj is only for those people who have the means. But second one is the middle class that could have gone, but now the Harami, the Murtad bin Shaitan, imposing so many taxes, you can't believe. So now everything is escalating, and getting more and more expensive. So rather read Ishraq Salat daily, and this morning also I told the brothers, read 2 rakat salat now, so 15 minutes or so after sunrise, and then every day make it a habit, you receive the reward of Hajj and Umrah, Umrat Hajj Ajru, Umratin wa Hajjatin Tamma, complete, perfect Hajj and Umrah, the reward you will get and receive. So the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi. So that is why these are occasions lutna here. We must take the maximum benefit. And then in Ramadan, you know, any nafil action we do, we get this multiplied to like a farz action. And any farz action we do is multiplied 70 times. So imagine how many reward we will get. But we must have the timetable. And you must have time for resting. You must have time, you must remember for your family, you must have time for your tilawat of Quran, and time for your dua and all these type of things there. So every person must make a timetable, and then you will receive the maximum benefit in minimum time. That is always our advice for Ramadan Mubarak.
Mufti Saab, people are confused. They don't know if they must read 8 rakats, 10 rakats, or 20 rakats tarawih in Ramadan.
Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, you must remember, nobody can reject this hadith. And it is mentioned in Abu Dawood, it is mentioned in Mishkat, it is mentioned in Mustad Ahmad, and various, and mentioned Ibn Majah, various compilations, and is authentic. عليكم بسنتي وسنت الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. So you must remember that you must follow my sunnah and follow the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. So first and foremost, to say 8 rakats tarawih, 10 rakats tarawih, all that we rejected. Why we rejected? That in time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and for 1,000 years after that and more, remember the ummah were all reading 20 rakats. And if you take all four schools, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis, they all agree on 20 rakats. Not one faqih, not one imam, not one jurist has spoken and said Taraweeh is 8 rakats or 10 rakats from Ayyimma Arba'a. And they are the greatest people in the field of jurisprudence. Take the authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, and you will find it there. La tajtami'u ummati ala dalala. That you must remember, this ummah, they will never ever have ijma and consensus on something that is null and void and something that is batil and falsehood and so forth. He was a lecturer there in Madina Munawwara. I said in his lecture so many times, great scholar, and Sheikh Atiyah Salim. And remember, he was Sheikh Shankriti's, one of his favorite students, Tilmidh Rashid, that person who wrote Adwaul Bayan. Adwaul Bayan is considered as a masterpiece of tafsir. Shankriti is a Mauritania. So he wrote the book, you must remember, Taraweeh Salat in Masjid Nabawi, Akthar Min Alfi Amin. That for more than 1,000 years, remember, Taraweeh Salat continued 20 rakats. So what are you going to say about all these things here? One murtad, one shaitan comes and say, no, now you must change it. All this started in 2020. So 2020, 2021, 2022. So now the past 3 years, they have 10 rakats. This year, let's see what they're going to say. Will it be 10 rakats or will it be 20 rakats? So remember this, that once you allow people to make kharqa ijma, to break the ijma, then the whole deen will fall away. Your first azan, Jummah, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala introduced it. So what you going to say about that? Then remember Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the first person, he wrote the entire Quran Sharif on, you must remember, paper and scrolls. From his time, the name came Mus'haf. Before that, there was never, it was called Mus'haf. That is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. How many reforms he brought? Go and read the book Akhbar Umar and the Allama Tantawi Rahimullah. He's got a special chapter and it's known as Awwaliyat. Awwaliyat means the reforms brought in the Sharia and in this Ummah for the benefit of this Ummah by Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu warda. So like that, you will find all this here. Nobody will say it's a bid'ah. Therefore, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa and Mullah used to say, when they asked him regarding Taraweeh, he said, "Ma kana Umaru mubtadi'a." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu should not commit bid'ah. He used to bring in things that were for the benefit of the Ummah. In time of Nabi alayhi salam, Taraweeh, time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu Taraweeh, small groups, yeah, they, everything. Sayyidina Umar said, "Oh, Ubay bin Ka'b, you must be the leader, and you the Ummah, all of you must stand together and stand Salat behind him. And when you do that, then there will be unity and goodness in this Ummah." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and used to make dua for Sayyidina Umar and say, "Allah put nur, radiance, effulgence in your life, in your qabr, everywhere. How you brought more and more nur, radiance, effulgence in our masajid, that you told that everybody should read behind this one imam. Not you have 10 jamaats and 5 jamaats in the masjid simultaneously." So remember, if people go to the house after reading first salat in the masjid, so we got no problem with that. But in the masjid at one time, 3-4 different people making khatam. So that is not something that is desirable, it is undesirable. So that is what we need to understand here. So from time immemorial, you can say that Taraweeh Salat is 20 rakats. And therefore, and there's a hadith also. And if you come to my house, I've got it there. That I took it out, you understand, before Ramadan, now 1 month or so. I said, this kitab will be by Sheikh Ismail Ansari. Sheikh Ismail Ansari, and the hadith is mentioned on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and is mentioned in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 20 rakat, and he made tasheeh of it. He said it's sahih. Many scholars say it's weak. Sheikh Sabuni also wrote book on Taraweeh Salat, and he also spoke about, you must remember, 20 rakats Taraweeh. So it's not everybody who agrees with these modern day Salafis and so forth, but the 8 rakat, 20 rakat. I'm giving you scholars who are well known and renowned and famous. Sheikh Sabuni's, I have all this book. So you must remember that Sheikh Sabuni's book on Taraweeh, Sheikh Ismail Ansari's book on Taraweeh, and they all got about 20 rakats. Nobody speaks of 8 and 10 rakats, and with dalail and with evidence. So in that way there we should be very, very clear. Imma arba'a, once they say and agree on an issue, inshallah, that will remain the sharia ila yawm al-qiyamah, till the day of justice.
Mufti Saab, I personally heard Shias saying that we shouldn't recite the Quran because we don't understand it. Mufti Saab, what's our response to such people?
So remember, leave the Shia. Shia, the kuffar, what we have to worry about them. Shias don't read Taraweeh also. So why they don't read Taraweeh? Anything to do with Sayyidina Umar, they distance themselves from them. Leave the kuffar, Shias. Our people, they say that, some of them. So you must remember that what is the benefit by reading Quran? That you just read. That when I went to go study, I think I told you, I mentioned it last night in a lecture. I said that this Sunday year will be 12th of March. So I left South Africa on 12th of March 1974. And it was a Monday when I left in 74. So that Sunday, Heidelberg is a small place. So the men, they came there, you know, to our house. And a lot of men came. And I'm a youngster, first of my life, I'm going to sit in the plane to go overseas. Before that, I sat in the plane, Durban, Joburg or something. So either Joburg to Durban or Durban to Joburg, just to test out how the planes are, you know. So anyway, then before I go overseas, so anyway, so that Sunday there, now the people come. So this is called as Hafiz Sahab, Hafiji, you see. That. So I still remember, and I remember who made these comments. They all passed away. Allah grant them Jannat wa Firdaus. I read their Janaza Salat also. So you must remember the one person told me, Hafiji, tumhe jao Pakistan. You're going Pakistan. Molvi banwano. You'll become a Molvi. Pagar bahu ochuche. You get very little wages. The man is going to study, and instead of giving encouragement, then they give you this encouragement, you know, that they say, they speak of the money and the wages and salary and all that. Then when one guy starts, then the other guy starts, you know, the other guy starts. You see, Afiji, the trustee bo kharab che. The trustees are very bad in the masjid and madrasa. You give the trustees son hiding, then they'll fire you and all that. They speak all funny things. So I'm just making G and all that. But now when I reflect on it, I mean, what short-sighted statements you made, you understand? Somebody is going to study, and now you give him all these funny kind of advices. So remember that they will tell you for what you become Hafiz. You don't understand the Quran. You wasted 1, 2, 3 years of your life, Allah forbid. So we must understand what is Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that bilisanin arabiyyin mubin, that the Quran Sharif is that which is in the Arabic language. So some people during Ramadan, they don't want to read the Quran, the Arabic text. They say, no, I'm reading the translation. I'm reading Quran, but a translation. So I told them, you never read Quran. A translator is a traitor. Remember, many a time the translator does not even translate correctly. So many times it happens. So that is not Quran. Quran is, remember, the Arabic text. So you read it, even you didn't understand it, you will be rewarded by Almighty Allah. And if you understand it, then remember, the reward will be much more. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran Sharif and you teach it to others as well. Hadith in Bukhari. سكر حديث صحيح مسلم إن الله يرفع به أقواما ويضع به آخرين. People who attach themselves to the noble Quran, Allah will elevate them. And those who detach and distance themselves from the Quran, Allah Ta'ala will debase them and relegate them. Our honorable ustads, all of them, a majority were hafiz. They were not alim and so forth. My own personal ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, Hafizahullah, he's teaching, he doesn't know Arabic, so he's teaching Hafiz for 55 years. So what will you say? Will you say he wasted his 55 years? We will say, Kalla, hasha wa kalla, never. We will say, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the best of people. Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa allama. Go open Tirmidhi Sharif. Go open Tuhfatul Ahwazi. The commentary of Tirmidhi Sharif by Allama Mubarak Puri. And go see what is written there. There's one Ravi, one reported there, Abdul Rahman Sulami, Rahimahullah. He says, Aq'adani fi hadhal maq'ad. That Aq'adani hadhal hadith fi hadhal maq'ad. That's hadith. It made me sit here. So, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa allama. So, to show people that people who dedicated their lives to Qur'an Sharif, 50, 55, 60 years in teaching, they didn't take a cent as salary and so forth. So, what will you say for such people there? So, we say they are the best of the best, even though they didn't know Arabic and so forth. So, that is what Islam teaches us.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we return back to this program on Ramadan. Mufti Saab, how should new Muslims spend this Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's a very good question. The person who he or she embrace Islam, they should always mingle and associate with other Muslims, but it must be the same gender. So if that lady was a non-Muslim and now she embraced Islam, for example, this week or so, last week, so she should go to the ladies and ask them what are the basic rules regarding Ramadan and so forth. So then the Muslim lady will tell her that while you are in menses, you can't be fasting, but you can't be eating in public as well and desecrate the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. Second one will explain to them that what fasting is all about, al-imsak, to abstain from eating, drinking, husband-wife relationship during the fasting hours and so forth. Third one, that they must learn some basic Arabic from now before Ramadan. They should know Surah Fatiha by heart and four surahs. So where there's a will, there's a way. And inshallah, if they dedicate themselves, they can do that. Short surahs, so they can read and perform salat individually and on their own. And then next one must explain to them that Ramadan is, you must remember, a month of Shahrul Khairat, Ul Khairat and Barakat. So we must be the ones to be giving out. So what we do, our zakat, our sadaqah, our lillah. So wa inna judahu akthar min al-rihil mursala. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that he, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was so generous, more than a hurricane and a gusting wind. So every day give out some charity. If zakat is compulsory, pay zakat. If zakat is not compulsory, then also pay something, one ren, two ren a day. So at least we put a smile on somebody's face and so forth and so on. So all these are lessons the Muslims also must teach. You must remember our new brothers, sisters in Islam, because they just embrace Islam. So the men were the men and the women were the women. So that is our fatwa and that is our advice on that issue.
Mufti Saab, MBS has announced certain laws in Ramadan and they say to silence the Ramadan. What is Mufti Saab's response to this?
This morning, that after tafsir, after Fajr, we have tafsir here, so in the masjid. So yesterday I saw many messages like that. Today I see that many people are sending messages. They say, no, MBS didn't say so, and it is fake. So my response to them is this: whether it's authentic or whether it's fake and so forth, that will not change the issue. MBS himself is a murtad bin shaitan. He has destroyed Islam from within and from, I must remember, the holy lands. I give you all the statistics and information. Sheikh Salih Ali Talib was Imam of the Haram. He visited South Africa in 2010 as a guest of Darul Newcastle. I was translating for him, so obviously we know what which year and that. But Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So the khutbah he rendered, he said nobody should go to the cinema. He said all this ikhtilat between rijal wa nisa, the intermingling between men, women, and all that, you know, unbridled and all. So all that is haram and not permissible. So you must remember what he said is 100% true. But because of that, they locked him up. He's Imam of Makkah Haram. 10 years he had to go. Nobody can refute that. You go to Jeddah, you will find the bikini beaches, people pay, and then you can go there. One whole section is, you understand, that thing that you put one side for such people. Then the rave shows in Jeddah and Riyadh and all that. They're the decibels. You know, we are in the media industry, so we work with decibels. Decibels is the amount of volume you can put out. So the maximum amount, minimum amount, I told you in the beginning of the program, make it louder. So then our brother Bonface, he pressed the one button, it became louder and so forth. So you must remember the decibels for the musical events is maximum amount. And for Azan and all that is minimum amount. You know, see the differences. And where? In the land of Biladul Haramain Sharifain. Then you see, you must remember that for boxing match and for F1 and all that, Formula 1, not millions, millions and millions, billions and billions of riyals and dollars and all that are spent. When the Ummah today is crying out in Palestine, in Libya, in Syria, in the Burmese Muslims, Rohingya Muslims, Indian Muslims, all these things, yeah. So therefore, we say that this man here, you must remember, he's not a Muslim. And we can never call him a Muslim. I say whoever agrees with MBS and his policies, that person there is 100% murtad and out of the fold of Islam. So that is our verdict on that issue there. It's not that if this is true and all that he's doing, so then Quran calls it ziyadatun fil kufri. He was an enemy of Islam and a murtad, but now he became a worse enemy by making all these false things, you know. And so whether it's true or not true, that Allah alone knows. But the fact remains that 10 rakats and all that, he introduced all that. He introduced the social distancing. He introduced that nobody could touch the Kaaba and Hajar Aswad for years. Now only they open up. So who is responsible for this? The Baytullah, the Kaaba, Musharrafa, remember, does not belong to Ali Saud, the Saud family, or to MBS, or his father or grandfather. Remember, Saudi Arabia only came into existence 1932. September 23rd is their national day. So then they came. They're not even 100 years old. So you must remember that. So that is what we need to understand. That a person in the Haram Sharif, Makkah, Quran Kareem states, Surah 22, verse 25, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ. Whosoever makes intention of a deviation in the Haram, بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Then that person there, what that oppression is committing, we will unleash a painful punishment for him. Surah 22, verse 25, that is just on irada, or just making intention. So what about those people who are perpetrating it and committing all these vices? So therefore, we make two du'as. Allah mahfaz bilad al-haramain al-sharifain min kulli su'in wa makruh. Allahumma tuhir al-majr al-aqsa min al-yahudi al-ghasibin al-muhtallin. So there's the one du'a. Second du'a, اللهم أهلك آل سعود، اللهم أهلك آل سعود الظالمين كما أهلكت آدم وثمود. As you demolished and you know your Allah decimated, you must remember the Qawm Aad, Qawm Thamud, you must decimate, destroy them, these enemies of Islam of today.
Mufti Saab, a woman who's experiencing her menstrual cycle, how should she gain maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan?
Yes, you must remember that there are 3-4 maslas you must know. Mas'alatu akhadil hubub, that's the maslas name, the unwan. Can a sister, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, whatever, take medication so they can fast all 29 days, all 30 days? The fatwa will be, is permissible. Taqwa and ihtiyat, precaution is, they should not do so. Inna Allah kataba hadihi ala banati Adam. Allah has ordained and prescribed this on the daughters of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And it's good for their health, but because you want to keep all the fast and so forth, so you don't want to miss that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days, whichever is your habit. So the fatwa we will give is permissible, but better to abstain and let the namnapaki, the menses come and so forth. So that is one issue. Second issue, remember that when a lady has must fast and so forth during Ramadan, for her menses, due to her menses or a nifas, a postnatal, or due to breastfeeding or whatever, then remember qada is compulsory. Fidya and payment will not suffice. We need to be clear on that issue as well. Today people just confuse and mix up the issues. So we must remember that that payment and compensation will not suffice. They must keep qada, that is compulsory, after they feeling well and so forth. Third issue here will be that what should she do? Now is Ramadan, for example, and she is in a haiza, in a state of haiz. So abandon durood sharif, abandon istighfar, abandon kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, abandon la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, abandon istighfar, beg all mighty Allah for his forgiveness, raise your hands, make abandon dua and so forth and so on. So whatever you can't do, because you can't read salat, you can't read Quran, you can't touch Quran, you can't make tawaf and so forth if you are there in Mecca, so you can't enter any masjid and so forth. So therefore Allah Ta'ala does not burden any person more than his or her ability, capability, capacity. So in that way there, that you look for the second best ibadat, like the examples I gave you. So you choose all that, and inshallah use your leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Saab, a female asks is that if they're reading Taraweeh and they feel tired, can they sit and read?
Remember, for the lady, especially according to the Hanafi scholars, if they read Taraweeh in units of 4, how you read the Sunnah Muakkada before Zuhr. So same way, if you read Taraweeh, best is to read in units of 2, obviously. Salatul layli masna masna, every 2 rakat you make salam. But the Hanafi ulama only, not Shafi's, not Maliki's, not Ambalis, they say if the ladies now, they read in units of 4, is permissible. If they get tired, now they are standing, they want to sit and read, so that also is permissible. So whether they want to sit on the chair or they want to sit on the floor, so all that would be acceptable and permissible.
Mufti Saab, if a person is fasting and for many years they fasted and they were Muslim, and for some reason, Allah forbid, they became murtad and now they became Muslim again, the years that they were murtad, must they keep qada for those fasts?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in the Noble Quran, La in ashrakta. Many a time Allah Jalla wa Ala addresses him, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wal murad bihadhi al-aya al-ummah. But the real message is for the ummah, for people like me and you. So in this verse, a conditional clause is used, La in ashrakta, if you commit shirk. Now which person in his right mind can say Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commit shirk? Obviously he won't go. But the message is for the ummah. So if you study that verse, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. So then it shows that your actions straight away, they go null and void. So all your actions of the past become zero. So remember that. So that is one group of ulama. Second group of ulama say, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ دِينِهِ. That when a person from you becomes murtad, عَلْيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, Allah protect us. فَيَمُوتْ, and he dies, remember, in that state of irtidad and apostasy. So وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ دِينِهِ. And فَيَمُوتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. And he died whilst he was a non-Muslim. فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Then such people remember that they will be the people who will go to Jahannam forever and so forth. So some ulama will say that straight away when a person become murtad, then you must remember all the actions become zero. And then, when they become Muslim, they will make qaza, like the Hajj. If they made a Hajj, then Hajj qaza will be compulsory. And you must remember that if they remain murtad, but then they became Muslim, and then, so it means before death they became Muslim, then that won't apply. Because Quran says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُوتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So حَبْتِ أَعْمَال, all the actions becoming zero, will only happen when they die in that case, in that situation. So we will say it is best as a precaution, they must make the qada. But according to majority scholars, they say qada will not be compulsory, but that person, once he or she become murtad, then they must remember the death penalty is compulsory upon them. Hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, whosoever changes their religion from Islam to something else, then for such people is the death penalty. And there's a hadith in Dharqutni of Marwan. So there also it is mentioned that there is death penalty for the ladies also, who are murtadda. And that is the verdict of the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. Hanafis only say, if the lady, Allah forbid, became murtadda, there won't be death penalty. For her will be habs. She will be imprisoned, sent to jail, hatta tamut or tatub, till she repents or till she dies and so forth. So that is the Hanafi point. But if you take Dalil and Dalail, then majority scholars, their Dalil on this issue is much stronger. So we will pass the verdict and say the death penalty is applicable for male and female when people become murtad, aliyazu billah.
Mufti Saab, I see we have 4 minutes left, inshallah. Mufti Saab, 2 questions. And the first one is, a woman with many children, they can't do a lot of nafal ibadah. How should they spend their Ramadan? And also our elderly and sick people, how should they spend their Ramadan?
Remember that you as a mother, you got 4, 5, 6, 7 children. So in a case like that, looking after your children, looking after your husband, looking after, that also is ibadat. Ibadat is not only reading Quran, making tasbih and reading namaz and so forth. That kullu ta'atin fahuwa zikrullah. Every action that is considered ta'ah and an obedience, you are doing something that is permissible, good in Islam, so that is considered as zikrullah, and that is considered as a good action. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So all that will fall in the category of أَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, you are doing your good deeds and so forth, so on. Second one, we'll end on this. This is very important and good thing you asked it. Our ummah today, they confuse issues and blow people's fuses. They are 2 separate terminologies, and we need to understand this properly. Remember that. Number one is Surah 2, verse 184. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تُعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ra'isul Mufassirin, and them who translated and interpreted and explained it and expound on it and say, on those people, yutiqunahu ay la yutiqunahu. You don't have the taqat, the strength, the energy, stamina to fast. Because of old age, you advance in age 90, 100 years old, and you don't have the strength, and the chances of you regaining the strength are only 1%, 2%. So people who are very, very old, no taqat, no quwwat, no strength, no energy, for them, they must pay their fidya. So $2, nowadays we say 35 rand. So they must pay fidya. For who is that? For Sheikh Ulfani. People who are very, very old and in age and so forth. Second one, al-marizu da'im. People who are perpetually, chronically ill. According to the doctors, medical fraternity, the prognosis is such that they say the chances of these people regaining their health is like 0%, 1, 2, 3%. So they are very, very ill, whether they're 15 years old or 50 years old or 60, 70 years old. So, but always throughout the year, all every day, every week, every month, they ill, they sick. So there's no chance for them, so they also must pay fidya per fast, 35 rand. So $2. You must pay to poor Muslims who are entitled to receive zakat. Second one are those, the lady is pregnant, the lady is breastfeeding, the lady is, you must remember, pregnant again, and now and is breastfeeding, and a lot of issues of the previous children. So all this area, so in these cases, qada is compulsory. Fidya and compensation and all that will not suffice. So today our women who are pregnant, who are breastfeeding and so forth, they looking for all these loopholes so they don't have to keep qada. And they'll say, no, that this Maulana, this Mufti Sahib, this Imam said, all that, remember, is incorrect. Qada, you must remember, is compulsory upon you, and fidya will not suffice upon you ladies who are pregnant or breastfeeding and so forth and so on. So that is not marizul daim. You're not sick all the time. You are sick and ill for a certain period of time. So the analogy and qiyas cannot be done. So we must know all these laws basically now, before Ramadan Mubarak starts, that when is qada compulsory, when is fidya compulsory, when is, you must remember, kafara compulsory. Kafara is husband-wife Thursday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. They said that now let us sleep, social distancing. Husband on the right-hand side, wife on the left-hand side. But then they gravitated, they came closer to one another. Then during Ramadan, during month of Ramadan, not other months, during month of Ramadan, an explosion took place. Husband, wife fulfilled the conjugal rights. Then what happens? One qada is compulsory and 60 fast is compulsory. The 60 fast are kafara for desecrating the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. So these are the basic rules that we should know. What is kafara? Today our people will say, I'm sick, what is a kafara? So there's a wrong term they're using. They mean to say that they are ill or sick, so what is the fidya I must pay? So we need to educate the ummah and teach them the proper terminology.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. We end off with the explosives of Mufti Sahib and make dua for us also, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam. We conclude with the dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan wa sallim Ramadan lana wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. Barakallahu fiik. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.